very basically, the Senate is made up of two senators from each of the 50 states, and Republicans currently have control with the three-seat margin. There are 53 Republican senators. There are 45 Democratic senators, but there are also two independent senators who caucus with the Democrats. So if Democratic senators hope to, which they do, flip the Senate to Democratic control, they need to flip three seats currently held by Republicans to change over to Democrats. And that seems within reach for the Democrats. There are a number of very close states. Some actually, you know, some of those states that are up for re-election actually don't seem that close. And they actually seem quite likely to flip over. And so states like Arizona, where Mark Kelly seems to hold a pretty commanding lead, Maine will be a little bit closer, but people are probably familiar with Susan Collins, and she seems like she's pretty consistently down in the polls. So if the polls are correct or close to correct, it seems likely that Democrats will be able to flip at least three of those seats and take control of the Senate. And of course, the vice president is also relevant here. Who wins the presidency and the vice presidency is relevant because the vice president is the de facto president of the Senate. And if it ends up 50 as a 50-50 tie, the vice president can act as the tie-breaking vote in the Senate.
I know in some of these races, Trump has either been a boost to the Republican or he's been a drag to some of their aspirations.
I think that that's interesting. I mean, there are some clues about that. There's a few of the senators in these tight races have kind of given us some indication about their own opinions on that question, including Dan Sullivan here in Alaska. Martha McSally in Arizona made some news, I think, last week when she was cagey on a question in a debate about whether she was proud of her support for Donald Trump. And so in some of these tight races, North Carolina is another one of them, it has been difficult for the candidates, especially the Republican incumbents, to wrestle with that because these are states, many of them, Arizona and North Carolina in particular, Texas is another one that seems to be tightening, where it's going to be very close in the general election, whether those states vote for Trump or for Biden. And if you're running for Senate and if you're either in a close race or down in the polls, some of these candidates, incumbents, may want to distance themselves for Trump. And I think that depending on the makeup, the demographic and the ideological makeup of the state and how the polls are trending in terms of the general election, that might be difficult for some of these candidates. So I think that that is something that's interesting to watch. There have been races in the past. There have been general elections in the past. I'm thinking in particular of Al Gore when he ran in 2000 against George Bush. It was a big open question whether he wanted Bill Clinton. He was vice president for Bill Clinton. It was a big question whether he wanted to have full support from Clinton and to have Bill Clinton out on the trail, because at that point, Bill Clinton was popular, I think, on balance, but had a presidency that wasn't absent from scandal. So that's an example. I think especially McCain in 2008 running against Barack Obama, I think that was another example of McCain did his best, I think, to distance himself from George W. Bush, because by the end of George W. Bush's 8 years, I think that approval ratings showed him with fairly low approval ratings, and he was in the middle of a crisis. Now, what we're looking at now, it bears some similarities to both of those cases, except that the candidate that these senators may be wishing to distance themselves from is actually the person running. You know, it is actually Donald Trump that's running for re-election, and it's obviously difficult if he's got low approval ratings. And if it seems likely that he's going to lose in the general election, it becomes quite difficult for the Trump campaign, first of all, and then for some of these Senate campaigns to distance themselves from that record, because not only is he running for re-election, but also doesn't really seem willing to change course or change messaging in any kind of way. You know, I look back at the last month and I actually see retrospectively an opportunity for Donald Trump to have changed direction and to change messaging. He's somebody that actually contracted the coronavirus. And I think that at that point in time, if we would have seen him, rather than saying, this is not a big deal, this is easy to get over, I got over it quickly and easily, we don't really need to worry about wearing masks, we don't really need to worry about, we're turning the corner, that kind of thing, which is what he has said. If at that point in time he said instead, we really need to get serious about this. We really need to stop being foolish and really kind of get down to it, because we're entering, you know, a cold season and people are going to be more indoors. The point is just that there's a stubbornness in my mind on the part of his campaign. And I think that that's causing difficulty for some of these Republican incumbents in some of these states who are running, who are trying to be reelected to the Senate.
Well, okay. The polls that I've seen recently, Nate, suggest that Don Young and Senator Dan Sullivan look like they'll still represent Alaska.
I think that that's likely. I think that both of those races will probably be closer than the last time that Dan Sullivan and Don Young ran. We talked last week about the most recent high quality poll from Siena College and the New York Times, which was released a couple of weeks ago. That remains the most recent serious profile of both of those races. And again, that poll showed Don Young with an 8-point lead against Elise Galvin. And I think it showed Dan Sullivan with an 8-point lead over Al Gross. As we've mentioned before, it's important not to put too much stock in any single poll, but polling averages, if you average that poll in together with the ones that we had seen before, which we had seen some small leads and some other polls for both Dr. Al Gross and for Elise Galvin. But if you average those all together, I think you wind up with polling averages in the 4 to 5 point range for leads for both Sullivan and for Young. I did notice one other just kind of interesting quirk. You know, I would say over the last 3 to 4 months, one thing that I think poll watchers and modelers have noted is that the national polling average, if you're going to do a political poll, it just makes sense to try and do some national average. The sample size it's easier to get a much bigger sample size and be more representative. So many polls that you see that come out of serious polling organizations do both a national poll and a state-based poll. I think that there's been a discrepancy, which there's been speculation about why the discrepancy is, between what had gotten up to like a 10.5-point average for a national polling average in terms of a lead for Joe Biden over Donald Trump. And the state polls in the swing states, I think, suggested a much closer race, or at least a significantly closer race. You know, polls in states like Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan are kind of the usual suspects. Those polls showed a race that was maybe a point or two closer, that should have been nationally like an 8 or 9 point race instead of like a 10.5 point race. And so again, there was speculation about why that might be. What I've noticed over the last couple of weeks is actually that discrepancy, it still exists, but it kind of has flipped a little bit, or maybe it's gotten closer together, because if you look at national polling averages over the last couple of weeks, I think it's narrowed slightly. I think it's narrowed by a point or two even. So I think what you have now, if you look at reputable polling averages, you'll see something like an 8.5 point lead for Joe Biden rather than the 10.5 point lead that we saw in the middle of October. At the same time, the polls in the swing states, if anything, the lead that Joe Biden has had in places like Wisconsin in particular, Minnesota, Michigan, Iowa is another one, he's actually increased his lead by at least a couple of points. There was a poll from ABC, an A-plus poll released on Wednesday morning, that showed Joe Biden with a 17-point lead in Wisconsin. That's an outlier, probably, but again, it comes from a very reputable polling agency that has transparent methods. And so I think it's interesting to observe that the state swing polls have actually shown, if anything, an expanded lead for Joe Biden, while the national polling average has contracted slightly. I think that that's probably just indicative of the expectations, the race kind of coming together at the last stages and becoming more clear, more certain. And I think it's true that over time, over history, it's been the case that polls become more accurate and trustworthy the closer you get to an election. So I encourage people to keep an eye on things in the last few days between now and Tuesday, because there's going to be a flurry of polls and polling averages and model projections. Races don't tend to change very much, barring some unforeseen, like, major news story. People say, like, well, what surprises do you expect? And I think that that's kind of a paradoxical thing to ask, because if there are things that we expect, I think that they're probably factored into our expectations.
Nate Bauer directs the University of Alaska Press. I'm Robert Hannon.